Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Crossbar Podcast. This is week number 3. We have still not been fired. My name is Travis Barrett.
I'm Dave Dyer.
We are sports writers here at the wonderful downtown suites known as the Morning Sentinel and Kennebec Journal Sports Departments.
You almost forgot your place of employment.
I almost got myself in trouble is more like it.
That was awesome.
I thought it was a pretty accurate description of where we work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, our palatial estate.
Swanky. It's swanky.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get right on it.
Yes.
All right, what are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about rivalries.
You know what would have been better? If you had just had, like, some awkward pregnant pause, like, I don't know what we're talking about.
To counteract.
Still building our chemistry, you and me. Yeah, we're going to talk about rivalries. Easy for you to say.
That's right. Say that 3 times fast.
And I think, you know, there's no sense in beating around the bush, but I'll just get right to it. I mean, the reason for the topic, weather permitting, of course, is Coney and Gardner hockey are set to play on Tuesday night at 7:30-ish over at the Camden National Bank Ice Vault. As always, with anything Coney and Gardner related, highly anticipated.
For sure. I mean, this is the, you know, I started working Central Maine newspapers in 2012. And the first thing that I learned when I came up here, because I grew up in Southern Maine my whole life, so my knowledge of Central Maine wasn't, you know, as fantastic as it was down there, was Coney Gardner is the rivalry of the entire area. Now, obviously, there's people who would love to chime in and say, well, it's, no, Waterville-Winslow is the rivalry of the area, or, you know, but it's, no, it was the first thing I heard when I got here, and, you know, we as sports reporters, and, you know, we cover as many schools as we can, but, you know, we always hear from parents from both schools saying we're not covering their love the other ones more. We'll hear from Coney parents saying that we love Gardner more. We'll hear from Gardner parents saying that we love Coney more. And I guess that's kind of the nice thing of the rivalry. I mean, it's still pretty heated after all these years because we hear from the fans, and it's nice to see after all this time.
True story. I grew up in Manchester, where at a time when there was, I guess there was football at Marinacook in the early 80s, probably mid 80s, and then there wasn't. But anyway, you know, we had no real football to speak of, no hockey to speak of. And I remember my dad taking me to Coney Gardner football games and Coney Gardner hockey games. It takes on the whole region, and I think we can break down those teams all we wanted. But I think what I'd really like to get to is you gotta wonder what makes a good rivalry. You know, I think Waterville-Winslow, it's obvious. I mean, they're separated by a river and a bridge, literally. Coney and Gardner are separated by a couple of towns. I think we could probably go back to our own lives and think of rivalries that were maybe geographically spread out. I remember a time in the early 90s where it felt like Marinacook and Lincoln Academy had a pretty good soccer rivalry, and those obviously are two schools that were not close together between Reedfield and Newcastle. I mean, there was no quick way to get there. So what, Dave, for you makes a good rivalry? At the high school sports level, I think, is what we're talking about.
You know, for me, and I should preface by saying I don't condone violence in any way, especially at the high school level. But if there's a certain level of animosity between the two schools, I think that would be great. The very first high school football game that I ever saw, I remember it to this very day, was the 1991 Battle of the Bridge game between Thornton Academy and Biddeford Football.
You can't say Battle of the Bridge here if you don't mean Waterville-Winslow.
Oh. Unfortunately, folks,
I'm just telling
you. There's more than one Battle of the Bridge game throughout the city. There's actually two in Southern Maine to begin with, and then, you know, the one up here. So, okay, so I'll take it with Battle of the Bridge. The Thornton Academy Biddeford game, which, especially in the early 90s, was huge because both programs were doing so well at that particular time. And the only thing, I can't remember, I want to say Biddeford won that game, but there were so many people in the crowd that day. I was so taken aback. I'm like, at 91, I was 6 years old. It was a sold-out crowd at Hill Stadium in Saco, and I'm just thinking, this is insane. This is like a Patriots game or something. It's just, there's so many people.
Probably was in the early 90s.
To a six-year, yeah.
It was probably
to
pretty
a,
close.
And to a six-year-old, that, you know, a 6,000, you know, attendance crowd might as well have been, you know, 36,000 or whatever. But that was my first actual experience with a rivalry game, and then my first sports writing job was in Biddeford, and I had the task of going through the actual Biddeford Thornton Academy rivalry, all 100-plus years of it, talking with both schools, and I was able to speak to a gentleman from Biddeford who played on the team in mid-1940s, Rene Fredrette, and he told me they actually had to stop the series for a couple of years because there was so much animosity between the two schools. There was too much. It was too hardcore that they actually had to stop the series for 3 years.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's a rivalry.
That's a rivalry.
That's a rivalry. Now, today, unfortunately, we've gotten to a point where there's so many shared after sports seasons outside of the high school season. For example, I went to Massabesic High School, and with baseball, there was no Babe Ruth program at Massabesic, so I played with Sanford, which is our rival next door. So there really wasn't much of a rivalry with Sanford, even though that's supposed to be our natural rival, because we were friends.
We knew each other,
and we were friendly, and there wasn't much of a rivalry at all. So unfortunately, that's kind of this is just my opinion, and I'm sure people will chime in and say that I'm, you know, full of it.
But you're supposed to have an opinion.
Yeah, that's but I think that it's not nearly, there's not nearly as much animosity as there used to be toward that other team.
Probably.
Now you're actually friendly with the other team. Granted, it's still, you know, you want to win that game when you play against each other, but there's just not that strong feeling of, not only do I want to beat you, but I want to embarrass you.
Right.
In front of your, you know, your home crowd.
So then the first prerequisite for a good rivalry is animosity.
I feel. Yeah,
I think you're right. I think what makes them really good is, and we talked about a little bit before, is that there's got to be some kind of regional / geographic pull.
Sure.
I just, if I got to drive 4 hours on a bus somewhere, it's not a ride. You can't get the town there. You can't get... I know when I started out as a young sports writer in Rhode Island, in southwestern Massachusetts, I can never remember, eastern, western, you know, the high school football season there's a little bit longer. The regular seasons all end on Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving Day was all about football rivalries, and you played the same teams every year, it didn't matter. And I thought one of the best things about that was always the size of the school didn't matter. Some of the smallest schools had the fiercest rivalries. So I think geographically that's got to count. So I would say animosity, some sort of geographic pull in the right direction. And I think for me the other piece of it is, it's the old sports cliche of you throw the records out when these two teams play. And I hate it. I hate that cliche. But I do think when it comes to a good rivalry, I think that's true. I think if your whole season can be made by beating out other, if we're talking about football, or we're talking about hockey, and you're 3-12, and you know your rival's the opposite, they're 12-3 and going to the playoffs, and they're gonna, if you can make your whole season by beating your rival, that's a rivalry.
Well, to go to the Gardner Coney rivalry again for a second,
yeah.
You know, you had mentioned that that school size. I feel, you know, as an outsider looking at the Gardner-Coney rivalry, I feel like Gardner almost always is a constant underdog because it's town versus city, really, if you think about it. It's you know, I'm sure the population of Gardner's grown over the years, but it's still town versus city. Augusta's the capital. It's the city kids.
Right.
And granted, Gardner is right next door, but it's still...
Waterville-Winslow.
Right. Same idea.
Yep.
So there's that little bit of an underdog feel to it on the Gardner side of things. I would be if I was a Gardner kid or a Gardner fan.
Yeah.
I would always view, you know, Coney as the city kids.
Right.
those city kids, we're gonna go beat them this week.
so true. It's
you
so,
know, they have it so good over there. Yeah. Meanwhile, we, you know, it's not nearly as bad as they think, but there's still that underdog type factor to it.
One of the best sports rivalries I ever had the chance of covering regularly was, again, back when I started out in Rhode Island, in Warwick, Rhode Island, which is about 15 miles south of the capital of Providence, where the airport is. Two Warwick schools. One's the public school, Tollgate High School, and the other one is a all boys Catholic high school, Bishop Hendricken. And you want to talk about fierce hockey rivalries? You talk about city versus town, but that was more like we're going to go get those, you know, two-shoe Catholic boys. And those rivalries, those games always had an edge. And I think that kind of goes back to your. We're not condoning violence, but I think one of the things we all enjoy about rivalry games, and I know, I'm not talking about dirty stuff, but when games are played with an edge.
Right.
A little chippy, a little nasty, a little more physical than normal. It's fun to watch.
I love when the fans come into play. And again, I'm going to bring up Biddeford and Thorn Academy for a second because it's the rivalry I'm most used to. When I was working for the Journal Tribune newspaper years ago, covering Biddeford Thorn Academy basketball and they played against each other every year. The students were great.
Yeah.
Students were great. One, because they were actually respectful when they went to the... I'm talking both sides here, both towns. Probably because the athletic director is standing right next to both stands, which is a common theme in many gyms during basketball season. But
we see that a lot.
We do see that a lot. But it would be funny when, you know, the Biddeford student section would show up to the Thorn Academy game and... You know, the Thorn Academy players will be called out, and every single one of the Biddeford students would have a newspaper,
and the just oldest gag in the book. I love it.
Crack it right open and start reading it with absolutely no sound whatsoever. I mean, that was fun. That was fun to watch, and you know, it's a nice little dig without being like, you know, disrespectful. I feel and just be able to find like fun, creative ways. Yeah. I mean, not doing anything hateful or disgusting, but to be able to do something creative.
The newspaper is one of my.
The newspaper, well, that's fantastic.
That's one of my all-time
favorites. I mean, that's great. So, it's something that you can not only the players but the entire town, the fans, can get into as well. That's what makes rivalries great, and especially at the high school level, because it's, you know, if your folks or your grandparents grew up in the same town, if it's a generational thing, I think it's almost a part of you. You know, to grow up, to have that much connection with the town of which you grew up in, especially if it's multiple generations, which a lot of these kids and a lot of these towns are, this is a part of you. This is more than just a high school sports game.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it great to me.
And it's funny because I know you and I talked about this a while ago, a couple weeks ago. When it comes to high school sports, youth sports, at any level, up through high school, there's only a finite, limited number of teams that are ever going to win championships or have a chance to win championships. What it's really about is those things you remember later on. And rivalry games play into that. It's you're not going to remember if you're Winslow, there's going to be countless games against schools and teams that in any sport you're not going to remember. The time you went and played... I don't know, I'll pick a team, it doesn't matter. Something that, you know, whether it's you went and played John Bapst, or you went and played Kennebunk, or you had some off game against, Lincoln Academy. But what you're going to remember are those games you play against Waterville. That time you beat them, you know, 4-3 in overtime. Or that time that you, man, I wished I'd cleared that puck out and ended up in my net. That's the stuff you're going to remember. And I think that's what makes high school rivalry games so great. And there's a lot of history and a lot of generations that can come into it. My dad played for them. My grandfather played for them. To me, that's the stuff that you can't. Going all the way to a regional semifinal and losing, to me, it's never going to match the kind of memory of playing in a rivalry game.
I have seen teams who go completely winless throughout an entire season and end up with one win. And that one win ends up being against their rival, who may end up not only be going on to the playoffs, but probably to the states that year. But they got that one win, against their rival. That win can make an entire season.
Yeah.
That one win can have a lasting lifetime impact on you. That's a game that you will never, ever forget. If you have a career day against your rival, that's the game you remember. You don't necessarily remember the, you know, having a touchdown first week of the season, you know, against, I don't know, an out-of-conference opponent.
Yep.
But you'll always remember when you score a touchdown against your rival that particular year. That's something that's always with you.
Never going to forget it.
Never going to forget it. Or, in my case, the one touchdown you score, period, your entire career, you're going to remember that because
yeah.
it's the only, it's the only highlight.
yeah. I covered Gardner Hockey against Bangor the other night, and I ran into Nate Foy, who's a senior defenseman for Coney, and asked him about the game coming up this week, tomorrow night. And it was funny because the first thing he thought was, oh, God, I just hope we play it. Like, looking forward to it. You know, you could just hear it. Like, we want to play this game. And afterwards, I talked to, you know, Gardner coach Sam Moore, and I said, so we'll see you on Tuesday night. And he goes, oh, hopefully. Hopefully we play. I mean, that's the sentiment. Is
yeah.
we, and I think that's the other side of it, is, aside, you know, regardless of who wins these kind of games, the people involved want to play those games. You want to play those games as much as possible because it's, there's an energy, there's a buzz. It tends to bring out the best and the worst in both sides. And I think that's why they're so special. They're so special. And I think, again, it's not just football and it's not just basketball. It's in all these other sports. Rivalries are real. And they're the things you look forward to, whether you're a high school athlete, parent of a high school athlete, girlfriend of a high school athlete, you know, or even us on the media side of it. It's what makes it, it's what makes it all special. It's what brings it all together.
The only downside of the, in my mind, of the reclassification,
yep.
In, you know, football and basketball the last couple of years, which I was a proponent for. I was, especially in football, I was for the making of four classes. But unfortunately, because of school size now and it being a legitimate problem throughout the state, it's killed some rivalries. Unfortunately, when football was reclassified, Thornton Biddeford, which, you know, that's not only a statewide recognized rivalry, that's a nationwide, that's been brought up in national headlines before, previous in high school magazines in the past too. That's how old of a rivalry it is. That unfortunately died.
Mm. Well, Coney Gardner went through a spell with football where they were playing at the first available weekend after both teams' seasons had ended, whether it meant you went to the playoff, one team went to the playoffs, you'd have to wait. I know there was a scenario where one of the teams went all the way to a championship game, and then, you know, so one team had been off for like a month. There was the time when they were trying to play it on Thanksgiving weekend. It was, with reclassification, that there was real fear that that was lost. And so the fact they're both back now, you know, in the same conferences made a, it sort of helped bring that back.
Oh, it's huge. Absolutely. And unfortunately, our friends of the Press Herald reported just a month and a half or so ago that there's a real threat that the Portland Deering
right.
Thanksgiving Football Classic could possibly die
right.
off as well because
right.
the, unfortunately, attendance isn't
right.
coming through. That's a real possibility, and that's a tragedy
yeah.
in Maine high school football if
yeah.
that game goes away. That's as traditional as any
yeah.
rivalry we have in this state. So
and one of the beauties of the hockey schedule is that they play cross-class games. So A and B teams play against each other, and that's helped keep Coney Gardner.
Right.
You know, I guess they get to play every year. And hockey's a little bit different animal. You know, we don't – I don't know – good teams are good teams regardless of your classification in hockey more often than not. I don't think it – you know, because there's not – you know, there's so many co-ops, and there's not, you know, 100 teams across the state. It does tend to, classification doesn't matter quite as much. You know, it's funny, I had a conversation today with somebody about Waterville and Lewiston playing hockey at the last weekend of the regular season. They're playing against each other. And you tend to evaluate those teams based on who they are versus what class they're in, you know. I think Lewiston's probably the best team I've seen in the state all year. Waterville's pretty close.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting to watch, but I think, again, I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, but the classification, that's the beauty of hockey. It doesn't tend to wipe that down as much.
And thankfully for most of the sports in the state, too, it's, you know, you have that, you know, it could end up being about 16 games or 12 games or enough games that you have going on in the season to where you can have that cross-conference game. Unfortunately, with football, as long as we keep it at 8 games for the regular season, that's never going to happen. Now, whether or not you're going to ever be able to lengthen it or round it up to 10 games, which would be nice, which would be really nice, I don't know if that'll ever end up happening. Unfortunately, the great thing is it looks like in a lot of the other sports we're able to maintain those rivalries. Mm. It's just in football. Maybe someday the NPA will be able to, the football committee will be able to figure that out. Today we can't. Hopefully in the future they will. But that's another story for another day. The rivalries that we have now that are going on now are fantastic, though, throughout the state. And we even have new ones that are coming about, even. Like, or fresher ones, or even a renewal of one. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about Waterville Gardner Hockey.
Mm.
Those are two good teams.
Right.
Waterville's got a bit of an edge right now.
Yeah.
In the talent pool. But Gardner is, you know, they...
Yeah.
Skated with them.
Yeah, it did.
Right down to the wire, pretty much.
Well, and I thought one of the best parts about that night, too, was, and maybe we mentioned it last week, was that you were talking about a night when the Patriots were playing on a Saturday night, a playoff game, and the ice vault was still packed.
Yeah.
People wanted to see it. People wanted to be there. And I think that said much as anything about that game, that people knew, like, this game's going to matter. So, I enjoyed that. It was fun.
Yeah, and that'll be a rivalry that will... You know, you can only expect the talent pool to, you know, as the team continues to play well and progress, that talent pool is probably only going to get bigger and wider because the youth system will, you know, pack in with more kids wanting to play in those two towns. So that's what you hope for anyway, and that it's a rivalry that will continue on for a good number of years.
All right, can we rant now, Dave?
We can absolutely rant. I'm going to let you go first because I feel like you've got the rants.
I got so many rants in my head. Here's one for you.
Okay.
You're going to love it. It's right in your wheelhouse.
I'm sure. I think I already know this is going.
Right in your wheelhouse. Okay. All right. So I spent most of yesterday afternoon, like every good sports writer apparently, on Twitter. During the NFC championship game, and then again at night during the AFC championship game. And I watched a steady stream of criticism, hatred, vile nastiness directed at Aaron Rodgers because he dared roll his eyes when his defense couldn't make a stop, yelled at some teammates because he was trying to get them fired up, and even turned to the referees on occasion. Are you timing this? Turned to the referees on occasion and, begged for calls that didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And just the nastiness directed at, what a clown, what a dork, what a loser, he'll never be as great as... Then I turn on the AFC Championship game, and I watch Tom Brady roll his eyes and throw his hands up in the air where Malcolm Butler can't come up with an interception in the first quarter.
Right.
Yell and scream at his teammates, and turn to a referee and make the holding call because he didn't get it on a receiver. After he had walked all the way up the field to the back judge to get him to try and make a call.
Yep.
And Patriots fans celebrate that as competitiveness. Come on, people. All right? There are quarterbacks in the National Football League, past and present, who are good. Even great. Every time they get mentioned does not have to be treated as a complete slap in the face to Tom Brady. That's my rant. How was that?
That had to at least been 2.5 minutes.
No, that was under 30 seconds.
Totally.
That's my rant.
That was totally...
I don't want you to respond to it. That's my rant.
Okay.
You got a rant?
I've got a...
Why is it... We've done this 3 times now.
I know.
And 2 out of 3 times, like, well, it's not really a rant. Go ahead. I'm timing you.
I want to apologize to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who in 2 weeks from now could very possibly have the most awkward moment of his life standing on the podium next to Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, and Tom Brady if and when he presents the Vince Lombardi trophy to the New England Patriots. And Goodell has no one to blame but himself for this. He could have had his mea culpa during the regular season against the LA Rams in Foxborough. He could have just showed up, gone to the luxury box, taken his booing like a man, gone home. That might have been it with Patriots fans. But now they want blood. Now they want Brady to have his moment in front of Goodell and never have him come back to Foxborough ever again. And he only has himself to blame.
57 seconds. That's not bad. We're getting closer to 30 seconds.
We're doing better.
Dave. Anyway.
You can't deny the fact that Goodell is...
I
put himself in a corner with it.
I don't think we have enough time for this argument.
I know. This is, in and of itself would be
a joke. Again, I keep pointing out the fact over and over and over again, and Patriots fans, including yourself, do not want to hear facts, which is it has nothing to do with deflated footballs. It has to do with they were bagged two or three times. They've been warned before about mistreatment of footballs, and they continue to act like the rules don't apply to them, and the NFL finally came down on them.
Even though the Spygate, everybody videotaped.
Doesn't matter.
Jimmy Johnson.
They were told not to do it.
First one to come out. My team did it.
Oh, please.
Just saying.
Oh, my goodness.
Just saying.
Here we go.
YourTeamCheats.com. Go on there. You'll find your team.
They all been the rules. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I just think the point with the Patriots is it's not about the footballs per se. It's about a track record of it and acting as if they don't do anything. And that's what bugs the heck out of people.
But I think to help you...
And they were warned. And they were told, if you do it again, we're coming down on you. And they did it again anyway.
But I think what you're probably, as a non-Patriot fan, having some trouble understanding is that this is... Now, whether It's a made-up delusion or not, Pats fans as a whole see this as good versus evil.
Of course they do.
Batman versus the Joker. Tom Brady is Batman.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Roger Goodell is the Joker.
Patriots fans are completely misguided because they see themselves as the good guy. That's where you're wrong. Everybody hates you.
Oh, wow.
Everybody outside of New England hates you. In the way we all hated the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s and the San Francisco 49ers in the 80s. We all hate you.
Hate us because they ain't us.
Us, we. Man, those are the Patriot fan buzzwords right there. I'm going to save my rant on the radio booth holding up Where's Roger signs. I'm going to save that for a whole nother
episode. They do now have more Super Bowl appearances than anybody else. That includes the Steelers, by the way.
They were a train wreck yesterday.
Who those fans could be seen as quite obnoxious as well.
Can we wrap this up?
Absolutely.
Let's wrap it up. Dive across the table. Steel chair. Flying elbow. Leg drop. You name it.
Superfly splash.
Superfly splash.
In honor of Jimmy Snuka.
I think I might. Anyway, this is the Crossbar Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to read our stuff. CentralMaine.com/sports. And if that game is played tomorrow night between Coney and Gardner, we'll have coverage of that.
You can also follow our Twitter handles. Mine is @Dave_Dyer.
And I am @TBarrettGWC. Some stuff that's online now includes a feature on the Colby College hockey team, 14th ranked team in the nation, in Division III, practicing outside today. It was a lot of fun. It was neat to see.
And I recently just did a feature story on Keanu Letourneau, who is a multi-event athlete for the Lawrence girls indoor track team. And that's probably an understatement because she is easily one of the best track athletes in the entire state.
Yeah, to say she's a multi-event athlete doesn't really do it justice. You should read it.
Absolutely. Yeah, but there's not an event that she does not excel at. And she has broken school records on her first attempt at events that she's never even tried before this year. So please go online, centralmaine.com/sports, and check it out.
And we will talk to you next week. I'm Travis Barrett.
I'm Dave Dyer.
Thanks for listening.